Dean Thompson, everybody.
I'm not a morning person. And I think partly the reason I'm not a morning person is because if you want to be a morning person, you have to be a likes to go to bed early person. And that's not me. And that's not the way I roll. That's not the way most of my family rolls. We are night owls. We like to stay up late. We read. We go online. We surf the interweb. We watch late night TV. We drink. We dance, usually in that order. Whatever. We stay up late, right? Okay. So the thing is that to get up early, I don't mind mornings so much. It's the whole waking up in the dark to an alarm clock. You know? It's just not right. It's wrong. I mean, we are not biologically equipped to operate in the dark. We're not nocturnal creatures. Okay? We should sleep in. I'm not talking sleeping really late. I mean, sleep until it gets light and the birds start singing. That's a reasonable time to get up. Yes. Okay? Yeah, I mean, it's getting up in the dark in the alarm clock, it's just wrong, okay? My quandary here, though, is that I'm also a bird person. I like birds, and birds are morning creatures. Birds are up and going at first light. Well, not all birds. Vultures like to hang out. Vultures, they'll sit and they'll kind of hang out, wait for the earth to kind of warm up, give them some thermals before they start going out, soaring around. But other than that, most birds are morning creatures. So if you want to look at birds and you want to see birds and you want to get good sightings of birds or collect data on birds or work with birds, you got to get up early. And sometimes you have to get up before they do, which means you have to get up in the dark to an alarm clock. Okay, and that was the case when I was working with birds of prey back in the 80s. I was a raptor biologist for a number of years. And when I wanted to work with these birds, in particular when we did release sites with a peregrine falcon or a hawk release sites, we'd release them out into the wild, we had to get up before the birds did because we had to feed them in the dark because we wanted the birds to stay wild, to maintain a healthy fear of humans. So as far as the falcons and the hawks were concerned, the food just appeared by magic. Okay, and that's what we wanted them to think, just to not associate humans with food. So when I was doing these jobs, I had to perform the unnatural act of waking up in the dark to an alarm clock. So if you were at one of my release sites, let's say my release site up in Wyoming, where I was up working in the Bridger Teton Wilderness, just outside of Jackson Hole, and you were with me up there, my typical morning for me would kind of go like this. I'd be laying in bed, my sleeping bag, laying in bed in my tent, and my alarm would go off in the dark. And luckily for me, my alarm had a snooze button, okay? So my first act of the day was to procrastinate. And many times it was my second and my third act as well. Eventually, I would force myself from that nice warm cocoon of nylon and down, and I'd hastily get dressed in the cold mountain air and put my headlamp on and crawl out of the tent and kind of survey my camp and make sure everything's okay, make sure the porcupines didn't come in and chew up anything that was important. And then I would make my way over to where the ice chests were hung suspended between several trees and so that the bears couldn't get to it, and bring the ice chest down, take out a snack, and then get out four defrosted Coturnix quail for the food for the falcons. So I put the ice chest back up in the trees, put everything in my backpack, and I'd head up the hill towards the release site, which was about a 20-minute walk. So I'd be walking up through the forest, and as I got out of the forest into the meadow and the brushlands, I would always turn my headlamp off to kind of let my eyes adjust to the dark, because I always kind of challenge myself to walk in the dark without the aid of a headlamp. And there's always light out there. There's like a faint glow off in the east, or maybe a waning moon sitting up there with Venus riding shotgun, or maybe some stars that were still kind of out but slowly drifting away as the dawn approached. And as I walk up towards the cliff where the release site was, it always was remarkable how the sage and the pines and the firs always had kind of a stronger, sharper scent in the dim light. I don't know if it was because the dim light and my olfactory senses are making up for the fact that it's dim. I don't know what it was. Anyway, I get up to the cliff site where the hack fox and the release site was. And I would always turn my headlamp back on because I had to make my way out onto a narrow ledge where the feeding platform was, and it was attached to the hack box, the release site. And it was the feeding platform was like a 2x2 piece of plywood perched on a thin metal pole. And the reason they did that is so it was called a marten board to prevent pine martens from coming in and stealing the quail for the birds. Which it kind of didn't work really well because the pine martens are very acrobatic little mustelids, and so they would like leap from the cliff and grab the pole with one arm and then fling another arm up there and climb up. So finally, what we ended up doing is putting bicycle grease on the pole to prevent them from doing it, and that kind of helped. Anyway, we put the defrosted quail, we put the defrosted quail on the pine marten board, and then I would head back down the hill to our observation post, which was down lower below the cliff in the meadow. And as I'm walking down to the OP, I'm noticing that the it's starting to get lighter, and I'm starting to see textures in the land, and the aspen trunks are beginning to glow in the pre-dawn light, and there's the shadows are a little bit sharper. And I get to the observation post, and I sit down in our observation post. Our OP is like a structure of logs and brush next to this kind of stunted pine tree with a tarp over it to kind of protect us from the elements and shield us from the birds. And so I got in there, we had a little seat kind of made out of a tree stump, and I'd sit down in there, and I would begin the second part of my job, which was to watch and to wait. And I would sit there, and I would watch the world wake up and watch the meadow and the cliff where the falcons were, and I'd wait for the falcons to come in and see if they were safe. And I knew the birds were up there. I assumed the birds were up there because they all had radio transmitters on them. And through the telemetry unit, the signals were coming from the cliff, and all four birds were up there. But there was no guarantee that they were alive because great horned owls sometimes came in the night and would kill falcons. And for all I know, the transmitter could be sitting up there on a ledge in a pile of bones and feathers, which I've actually found at other sites, but it didn't happen at this site. And so I had to wait for these birds to come in and get the food. And if once they came in and got the food, I knew that they were alive and they were fed. And that was the main thing. And we would do this for these birds every day until they either died or they learned to fly and learned to hunt on their own and became free-flying wild creatures. And this would take anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months, depending on the bird. And so this was where I would be. And so I sit there and I just watch and wait for the birds to come. And after my activity in the morning of going up to the cliff and back down and sitting there for a while, I'm starting to cool down a little bit. And it's always coldest before the sun rises. And so now my down jacket's on, I got my beanie on, I got my gloves on, I got a blanket over my legs. I'm sitting there and it's cold and I'm kind of shivering. I'm thinking, come on, sun. And I'm waiting. But now there's more light returning to the land, and I'm starting to see movement on the edge of the meadow, and there's rabbits coming out beginning to graze, and then I see movement, little birds flitting around, and then the dawn chorus begins with the hermit thrushes and the grosbeaks and the robins singing from the tops of the conifers, and then the Clark's nutcrackers join in, and the chickadees start calling as well. And then all of a sudden the sun rises and it comes up and it hits the tops of the mountain peaks first, and it's blaze orange of that first rays of sunlight. And then two falcons fly in and they come up and they grab quail, and I get up to the scope and I look through the telescope and I can see by the bands on their legs which ones they are and mark it down in my journal, and then get back down into my layers and sit there and shiver and wait and wait, waiting for the birds to come in. And now I'm... I'm starting to get a little hungry now. So I get my snack out and I start eating my snack. And as I'm eating my snack, I remember one time I was sitting there in the blind eating my snack, and all of a sudden I hear this noise. I look over and there's this moose. And this moose walking by is like 20 feet away, ambling along on these stilt-like legs, just kind of coming by. It doesn't even know I'm there. Maybe it knew I was there and it could care less. It was just, oblivious of me. And another time I remember sitting there with a big sourdough roll in one hand and a thing of honey, squirting honey onto the sourdough roll. When I heard this noise, I look over and about the same distance away, there's this big cinnamon-colored black bear lumbering around. He's not that far away, and I'm holding this roll and a jar of honey in my hand. I'm thinking, this is not good, but nothing happened. I mean, he just went off into the forest. I never saw him again. It was a little unnerving, but that's great. And So finally the sun comes and it finally hits me, and it's like, ah, oh, those first rays of sun, and it's just warming me up, and it's wonderful. And then two more falcons come in, and the last two come and they get their food, and I mark it down, and they fly off, and well, my job's pretty much so done for the day. That's it, you know, and they've been fed. I know they're okay. I can go back to my camp now, have a proper breakfast, take care of everything else that needs to be taken care of. But I don't go. Instead, I just sit there, and I look out at the meadow and look at the cliffs and the peaks above me, and just enjoy that warm morning sunshine on a beautiful mountain morning by the meadow in the Rocky Mountains. I'm not a morning person, but there's some mornings I'm really glad I woke up for.